Today is the second Sunday after Christmas, and the readings are from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, and I'll begin at verse 21 and go all the way through verse 52. Today's message is titled, At the Temple. Hear the Word of God from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us. In the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Here ends the lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, second chapter, beginning of verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother were marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And the sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. I begin this morning with the theme for 2021, for this new year, 2021. Our hope is in the Lord, for he who promised is faithful. And the primary verse for this year, 2021, is from Hebrews chapter 10, and it's verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That's holding fast to the hope, where hope properly means expectation of what is sure and certain. In other words, we will hold fast, we will grab hold of and never let go of the expectation of what is sure and certain. For he who promised is faithful, and the promises of redeeming grace in Jesus Christ, our high priest, who opened the way to the most holy place by his own blood. We can draw near to God, and we need this reminder of hope that is ours. I need this reminder of hope, and more than likely you also need this reminder of hope that is ours, this certainty and sureness we have in the grace of the living God. Paul writes of this hope using this verb form of the same Greek word for hope from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Paul uses the same form of the word, but now this time in a verb, when he writes in Ephesians, our first reading today, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. In order that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. First to hope in Christ. First to take hold of the sure and certain reality of what is to come, because Christ is exactly as he said he was, the Son of God. And the work of Christ on the cross did exactly as Jesus said it would do, pay the redeeming price in full, bringing forgiveness of sin and opening eternal life in him to all. Jesus is the Christ. And with that truth and reality, we know hope. And we are sure, and we sure need this kind of hope at this moment, and especially for this coming year. Grab hold of this truth that in Christ we have spiritual blessings as the grace of God has been freely given to us. That glorious grace of God has been lavished upon us. The riches of God's grace have been so freely overflowing to us in Christ. This overflowing, this all-encompassing, all-surpassing grace is ours in Christ, and is certainly reason enough to be full of hope. We are included in this wonderful truth when we heard the gospel, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. God's grace in Christ has done its work, being effective in purchasing us from the debt of sin and brings us to that new status of being in Christ. This is wonderful good news of salvation in Christ. Certainly reason to be full of hope. Our reading from Luke this morning shows the nature and character of Joseph and Mary. The two of them together showed their reverence for the living God by following the commands of the Lord with regards to their firstborn son. Every baby boy must receive the sign of the covenant in his flesh on the eighth day, and will be given his name at the same time. Just as Elizabeth and Zechariah obeyed in the naming of their son, as the word of the Lord from the angel commanded his name to be John, Joseph and Mary obeyed and gave the name, as the word of the Lord the angel spoke to them, naming Mary's firstborn her son, Jesus. Beginning with Jesus receiving the sign of the covenant in his own flesh as a baby boy on the eighth day of life, Jesus is identifying with us, being one of us. From the very earliest moments of his life, Jesus identifies with one of us. He is one of us, identifying as us as a sinner. He receives the sign of the covenant in his own flesh, a sign showing he's a part of the people. He is with us. God with us. Emmanuel. In the timeline and events, this circumcision and days of purification fulfilled would have happened before the arrival of the wise men. And we glean this from the warning given to Joseph in a dream by an angel of the Lord as recorded in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." After this dream, Joseph got up and took Mary and Jesus to Egypt for safety. They would not have traveled to Jerusalem after receiving such a warning about Herod's intentions to search for the child and kill him. Now, there's many opinions as to where Jesus' circumcision actually took place, Bethlehem, in Jerusalem at the temple. But at the temple is very possible, as Bethlehem is just a little over 4 miles from Jerusalem. A walk of 2 hours would get you there. And we need to remember that walking was the most common manner of getting from one place to another. Remember in the days of the out west, in the wagon trains traveling west, they would typically cover about 10 to 20 miles a day, depending on the weather and the terrain. And with the wagon trains rolling along, many would be walking beside them, traveling by foot. The hiking merit badge for scouts requirements is a 5-mile hike, a 3 10-mile hikes, a 15-mile hike, and even a 20-mile hike. And each of these hikes is to be a day hike. The requirements are very specific that no overnight stop is permitted. You may take as many rests desired for any length of time desired along the hike, but the hike must be completed in 1 day. In the Black Hills, the trail I've hiked several times with many others and family too, up Harney Peak, it's 7 miles round trip, and we hike that in under 5 hours or so round trip. So a trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem for the temple, to do the circumcision at the temple, it's very possible. However, the scripture really is silent as to where his circumcision took place, Bethlehem or Jerusalem at the temple. What is important, though, is the name given to this baby boy. It was given when the sign of the covenant was cut into his flesh. The name given was Jesus, just as the angel had instructed. The name given was for a very specific reason. The scripture tells us that specific reason, Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. His name is literally Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. The name given to the baby boy is exactly the purpose of his birth and the purpose of his life. The Lord is salvation. This journey to bring salvation, to be salvation for us, begins with Jesus receiving the sign of the covenant in his own body, thereby saying, as I've said earlier, thereby identifying with us as sinners from the earliest moment of his life. Mary and Joseph, as the law commanded, the law of Moses commanded, observed the days of purification. And when they were completed, they went to the temple of Jerusalem. According to Leviticus 12, the number of days is 33 days for a boy being born and 66 days for a girl being born. When these days passed, Joseph and Mary demonstrated their faith by their action of obedience to God's word, and they traveled to Jerusalem, to the temple. This is the home. This kind of home life Mary and Joseph will provide, Jesus will grow up in. A home that in daily life follows the ways of the Lord, fulfills the commands of the Lord. The mother is to bring a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. That's what the law says in Leviticus 12. But it also says, however, if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons. The offering that Mary brings shows that she and Joseph are ordinary. Yes, ordinary people of ordinary means. It's also another indication that the moment of this took place before the gifts of the Magi were given to them, because they would have had gold to buy a lamb if they wanted, but they just showed ordinary people, ordinary means, an ordinary home that follows and walks in the ways of the Lord. Simeon sees the family and comes to them. This special moment, by the guiding of the Holy Spirit, happens at the temple. Simeon was promised that he would see the Lord's Christ before he would die. He would see the promised Messiah before dying. Taking Jesus into his arms, Simeon praises God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel. Simeon, holding the baby boy Jesus, sees the Lord's salvation. This child, Jesus, is salvation. If that's not enough to stir the hearts of Mary and Joseph, confirming what the angel had spoke to them about the Son of Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Most High overshadowing her, the prophetess Anna, she comes up to them and speaks about the child and to all who were looking to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna speaks about redemption, meaning the payment of the full ransom price to free a slave. Did you hear that? Anna the prophetess spoke of paying of the full ransom price. as she was praising God. Simeon spoke of salvation. So here we have spoken about Jesus at the temple, same moment, same day, really close to each other, both salvation and redemption. Keep those in mind. After performing everything according to the law of the Lord, Mary and Joseph leave with Jesus. Again, highlighting the character of Mary and Joseph and the kind of home Jesus would grow up in, a home careful to walk in the ways of the Lord. We see this in Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. The most direct route from Nazareth to Jerusalem is through Samaria, and that's about 90 miles. The more common, longer route around Samaria is about 120 miles, a several-day journey undertaken every year as faithful followers of the Lord. When Jesus was 12 years old, when the feast was over, Jesus stayed behind, and the family did not miss him until they had traveled a day from Jerusalem. They missed him most likely when it was time to set up for the night and settle down for the night. He gives an indication of what it's like to travel in these groups, large family groups or groups with friends and neighbors all from Nazareth to go to and from the feast. So Joseph and Mary head back to Jerusalem to find Jesus, and looking for 3 days, they finally find him at the temple, in the courtyard with the teachers. Amongst the teachers, Jesus is already demonstrating that he is the Son of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 47. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. That word amazed, it really does not capture well the full meaning from the Greek word. The Greek word has the meaning of at a total loss to explain or account for. The teachers there and those around listening were at a total loss to explain the answers and understanding that this 12-year-old boy before them was showing them. This moment at the temple, Jesus is showing he is the Son of God. Mary and Joseph's reaction to finally finding Jesus at the temple gives the impression that Jesus was at the center of attention. All eyes and ears were affixed on Jesus and his words, drawing the people to himself, even with the teachers leaning in and learning from Jesus at 12 years old. That's the image of this moment here at the temple. And Jesus says, chapter 2 of Luke, verse 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" There was no other place for Jesus to be. He had to be in his Father's house at the temple. This focus on being at the temple, being in his Father's house, is instructional for us in these days of difficult times. The importance of gathering together in worship, in prayer, in singing, and encouraging each other at a specific place set aside for the worship of the living God. And that's what this place is, including the parking lot. This place is set aside for the worship of God. The focus of being here is important, and it's instructional for us. Like they were at the temple, we are here. Have you ever been to a conference or been to a large gathering of people for a common purpose? How did you feel after that conference? Were you inspired or encouraged by the conference? Now amplify that with gathering together for the worship of the living God. The Lord demonstrated the importance of coming together to worship by commanding the assembly of all the people of Israel 3 times a year for the major feasts. What would your heart say at the sight of 100,000, 200,000, and even more heading to the temple to worship the Lord God? Consider the distances traveled on foot to be at the temple to worship with burnt offerings and sin offerings, walking mile after mile after mile to worship, fulfilling everything the law requires. Surrounded by throngs doing the same, all united before the Lord. Now consider the other side of this world, this day and age, where believers gather in secret to worship and hear God's word. They gather at the danger of arrest and death. They put great effort to gather to worship. And even now in parts of the United States, where the first freedom is the freedom to worship, now experiences gatherings to worship restricted, constrained, and even forbidden. With hefty fines accumulating, there's more freedom to go to casinos in some places than there is to go to church. The evil one knows the power of people gathered to worshiping the living God. And the evil one is now putting forth every effort to keep us from gathering to worship. But we will gather to worship. We will live like Jesus growing up and regularly and attentively gather to worship. I go back to Hebrews chapter 10, beginning of verse 23, which is our key theme verse for the year. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And now verses 24 and 25 from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Put that together. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now is the time to encourage one another to meet together and worship. Our hearts, our souls, along with the hearts and souls of those around us, need us to be gathering together and be a worshiping people, a praying people, a people who hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For as Simeon and Anna know, and I want you to know, he who promised is faithful. And we have hope, for he is faithful in fulfilling all his promises, fulfilled them all in the Son, Jesus Christ, who is Christ the Lord. Amen and amen.